Welcome back to our journey through the Psalms. Today, we will explore Psalm 60, a psalm about trusting God to put things right after things have gone very wrong. The superscript tells us that David wrote this when he fought Aram Naharaim and Aram Zobah, and when Joab returned and struck down 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. I wish we knew the backstory about these particular battles of David against these Syrian, Mesopotamian, and Edomite enemies north and east of Israel. But 2 Samuel 8 doesn't fill in any more detail than what we have in this psalm. But one thing is clear. The superscript says it is written for teaching. That gets my attention. David wants us to hear and apply what we learn in this psalm to our lives. That's why the opening of the psalm is so startling. Verse 1. You have rejected us, God, and burst upon us. You have been angry. Now restore us. You have shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures, for it is quaking. You have shown your people desperate times. You've given us wine that makes us stagger. Wow. These descriptions of God's actions are shocking. You've rejected us, burst upon us. You have been angry. You have shaken the land and torn it. You have shown your people desperate times. Hear the repetition. You, 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 you. David sounds like he is wagging his finger right up in God's face. What's going on here? Israel has suffered some serious defeat from enemy invasion from the north and is reeling from the impact. Now they're facing threats from Edom on their southeast border. These vicious attacks are tearing the nation apart, making it difficult for them to regain their balance and prosper in the region. Like Israel's defeat by Ai in Joshua 7, David assumes God allowed these enemy victories to get Israel's attention. David and the Israelites need to draw near to God, learn from their mistakes, and do things his way. So, in spite of Israel's failure, what does David do about it? He holds on to God's promises for Israel, and he cries out to God for help. Listen to how David prays. Now restore us, mend its, Israel's fractures. These are prayers of command, bold, audacious prayers that take God at his word. God didn't make Israel a nation so they could be destroyed. No. David believes God really wants Israel to flourish, so that through them he can fulfill their calling to bless all the nations of the world. I don't know about you, but these aren't the kinds of prayers I usually hear in church. Those prayers sound more tentative and nice. More like, Father, if it be your will, please do such and such. Where did David learn to pray such bold, audacious prayers? We don't have to look too far. All through the Psalms, we see evidence of David meditating on one of his most favorite sections of the Torah, Exodus chapters 32 to 34. In this psalm, we can hear him praying like Moses when the Israelites had sinned. Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Listen to David's great confidence in the character of his God that inspires and grounds his boldness in prayer. Verse 4. But for those who fear you, you've raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. I love this. For those who fear you, you've raised a banner. David is confident that even when Israel suffers defeat, God himself will provide help for those who fear him. God will raise a banner so that those you love may be delivered. David trusts in God's steadfast, forgiving, covenant love for Israel. And David wants us to learn this too. When we mess up and suffer devastating defeat, God will show us how and where to rally to him, to learn his ways and trust in his love, so that he can provide the help and deliverance that we so desperately need. The Apostle Paul says something similar in 1 Corinthians 10, that the Old Testament stories were written down as examples and warnings for us, so that we will come to God and trust that when we are tempted, God himself will also provide a way out so that we can endure it. And wonderfully, God responds to David's prayers. Verse 6, God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph, I will pass out Shechem, that's just north of Jerusalem, and measure off the valley of Succoth, that's east across the Jordan. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim's my helmet. Judah is my scepter. All these places in Israel, God himself has given to Israel's tribes. Moab is my washbasin. On Edom I toss my sandal. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. Over each of these locations, Moab and Edom to the east and Philistia to the west, God says, they are mine. What's God doing here? He is reassuring David that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The Lord speaks and shouts in triumph over all nations. God always wins his battles. So Israel needs to remember to remain on God's side rather than thinking he is always on theirs. Learning his lesson well, David gets specific with his prayers. Verse 9, who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, God? You who have now rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. Israel has suffered devastating defeat from the Syrians and Mesopotamians to the north. Now they're facing threats from Edom on their southeastern border. So David prays, give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. David has chosen to find his strength in the Lord alone, not in his armies or mighty men. Now he proclaims God's promise in verse 12, that with God we will gain the victory and he will trample down our enemies. And this time in battle, the superscription tells us, Joab returned and struck down 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. So what does David want us to take away from this psalm? Three things stand out. First, when faced with difficulty and defeat in our lives, David reminds us not to ask, like Joshua did when entering the Promised Land, if the Lord is on our side or on the side of our enemies. Instead, we need to make sure that we are on God's side, being faithful to his covenant. Second, we need to be confident in God's covenant love. He wants to teach us, train us, and deliver us so that we can learn to walk in his ways. Third, he wants to turn our confidence in his love into boldness in prayer, pressing into God to find the help and strength that we need in times of trial. So, as we struggle to find our way with God through sometimes very difficult circumstances, a verse from an old Anglican hymn from my childhood comes to mind. He who would valiant be 'gainst all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master. There's no discouragement will make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Lord, we will follow you.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.